Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Zvachem Daf Samach. Perhaps we'll combine Samach with Samach Aleph due to the fact that Samach Aleph is quite a small Daf. So we'll join them together and we begin on Samach Amar Aleph around halfway down the Amid. Amar Rava Moide Rabbi Yehuda Bedam. Says Rava, you meant to know that even Rabbi Yehuda, who told us yesterday that they will mekadesh, to sanctify the floor area of the Azara as well, to be used as a Mizbeach. This was back in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, during those celebrations when they were inaugurating the new Beis HaMikdash, the new Mizbeach, and the amount of karbonis that they brought on that day was immense. And it exceeded, according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, it exceeded the maximum capacity of the Mizbeach. And that necessitated being Mekadesh the Ritzpah, as well the floor space around the Azara, around the Mizbeach, to be used as a Mizbeach. So they would burn the fats and the parts of the karbonis on the Ritzpah, on the floor of the Azara, in lieu of the Mizbeach. However, says Rava, that's limited to burning and being makriv in that manner, but actually applying the dam, the blood of the Mizbeach, of the carbon, that requires an actual Mizbeach. The floor is not enough. Amar Rava, Moide. Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree, in terms of blood applications, an actual Mizbeach is required. How do I know? The Sanya, we have a Bryce. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this was on Erev Pesach, where they had to handle a ton of carbon Pesachs that came to the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yehuda says they would actually, fill up, they would collect a container of blood from the blood that they found on the floor. They would fill one container of the blood mix on the floor. They would fill it up and take it to the Mizbeach, and pour it on the Mizbeach. What was the purpose? It was to accommodate a spilled blood, perhaps one or many of the karbonis, his blood got spilled on the floor and never reached the Mizbeach. So this would sort of remedy that issue, accommodate any lost blood. Because in case one or many of the karbonis Pesach had their blood accidentally spilled onto the floor instead of the Mizbeach, this would accommodate it. Nimtza, it turns out that this act of collection and transfer to the Mizbeach Machshirai would rectify that issue. Now the question is, why bother collecting, transferring to the Mizbeach? Leave it on the floor. This is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. According to him, the floor qualifies as Mizbeach, just as good. Fine, so it's pulled on the floor. It's fine. Now, if we are to say that Sava Rabbi Yehuda Kula Azara Mikacha, then in fact Rabbi Yehuda holds the entire Azara floor is Kaddish, like a Mizbeach. So you're done. The mitzvah had been fulfilled by simply having the blood reach the floor. We're assuming that it was collected in the Kli Sharis, as we learned way back, the Kehanim Azaris, they were careful, they're conscientious, of course. We assume the Kabbalah was executed properly. But perhaps the container with the blood, tipped over and spilled out. Okay, but either way, it arrived at its destination. The floor is just as good as the Mizbeach. Oh! What does that tell us? That regarding Dam, floor does not qualify. And that's why they had to recollect it and transport it to the Mizbeach. That proves our point. Well, no, not so quick. Viduma, perhaps. Theoretically, floor works. But in this case, Mishum Dekosavar Shvicha Mekoyecha Adam Be'inan. He holds that you need to do the Shvicha Mekoyecha Adam by way of a person. A person has to actually pour it. They can't just tip over and spill on the floor. It's got to be poured on the floor, if anything, right? So perhaps that was the issue. Since it happened just by itself, even if we'll say floors like Mizbeach, but there was no shvicha mikayach ha'adam, and that's what they were trying to rectify. Well, in Cain, if that was the only issue, nishkalev nishpech le'aduchtei, just collect it and pour it back on the floor. Why take it to the mizbeach? You need a personal act. Fine, collect it and pour it down again. Well, v'dilmam shum deba'inan mitzvah min ha'mufcha. Perhaps floor does qualify even for dam, but after all, it is preferred to put it on the mizbeach. Floor is just, you know, second best. So perhaps floor really qualifies. We haven't really substantiated that. Floor doesn't qualify for dam. Perhaps it does. It's just, ideally, mizbeach is better. That's why I went here. Okay, Amar Belosar. In connection with what we learned yesterday, that when mizbeach becomes pogum, mizbeach is damaged, you cannot do shechita of karbonis. Karbonis require an intact mizbeach. What about eating the leftovers, the basar of the karbonis, whether it's kadoshim kadoshim, kadoshim kalim, or leftovers of a mincha? Does that require the mizbeach to be intact? Amar Rav Elazar, yep, mizbeach shenivga. If the mizbeach was damaged, ein oichlin, you cannot eat beginoy on account of this mizbeach. Shiyari mincha, leftovers of a mincha. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, by the miluim, pasha shmini, v'yichlu ha-matzos, eat the mincha in a matzah form, heitzel ha-mizbeach, which almost sounds like they have to be standing near the mizbeach. That's incorrect. V'chi'eitzel ha-mizbeach, achlu, since when did they have to stand near the mizbeach? The entire azara qualifies. As Rashi brings the pasuk, t'yachl b'makim kadosh, just eat it in a holy place, b'chatzar ohel mayid, yichlu anyone in the chatzar ohel mayid. So what's the reference to the mizbeach here? Oh, to tell you that it's contingent upon the existence of the mizbeach. You know, it's almost like you can say that when one eats a korban, he's eating off Hashem's table. What symbolizes Hashem's presence, Hashem's table? The mizbeach. Even today, our table at home, right, this foreign bring is meant to be treated with respect. It's holy like a mizbeach. We eat l'shem shemayim, like a korban to Hashem. So you can only eat that korban if Hashem's table, so to speak, is in place, is intact. Ela rather b'zman shu shalim v'le b'zman shu chaser. The pasuk says, yichlu matzos eitzel ha-mizbeach. Doesn't mean in terms of proximity or location, right near. No, it just means to say the mizbeach has to be there to allow consumption of these karbonis. Ashkon shiarik mincha. Okay, that addresses the leftovers of a mincha, which is the, you know, topic of discussion in that pasuk. Kodesh kedoshim and all. What about other kodesh kedoshim? Tamulaymer kodesh, kodesh. There's a gear say astya kodesh, kodesh. We have a gzera shava. It says kodesh kedoshim here. It says kodesh kedoshim by the oila, by the chatas. Just as mizbeach is required for consumption of the mincha, likewise by other kodesh kedoshim. What about kodesh kalam? The lighter, you know, lower form of karbonis. Minayin. How do we know that they also require a mizbeach to allow consumption? Amar Abaye, here goes. As yomid rosh ad Rav Yosi. We learn that of Rav Yosi's drasha. Okay, it's going to be a step-by-step, you know, sort of process, a discussion, until we get to the end point, which is going to be that a mizbeach is needed to allow consumption of even kodeshim kalam, like a bechor, like a firstborn kosher animal. The sanyam, as we find in the Brice. Rabbi Yosi Omer, let me tell you three things that I heard from three different chachamim. Gimel dvarim, Rabbi Yosi Omer, gimel dvarim shum gimel zakenim. There were three things from three different zakenim, and here comes one of them. V'zeh echad mehem. In the name of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael Omer. What about nowadays? We all know that Maser Sheni is meant to be eaten in Yerushalayim, as the pasuk says, lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, in front of the Shechina. Nowadays, if we separate Maser Sheni from our, you know, crop, what do we do with it? Can we take it to Yerushalayim? We know where Yerushalayim is. Can we take it up there and eat it? Or do we have to go and transfer the Kedusha onto money, make a pidyon, and take the money and destroy it? Okay, which way do we do? Rabbi Shmuel Leimer, Yochel, perhaps, Yala Oda Maser Sheni Yerushalayim, Yechlenu B'zman Hazeh, even nowadays, perhaps you can travel up to Yerushalayim with your Maser Sheni and have a meal. Perhaps. The answer is no. We compare Maser Sheni to Bechor. And Bechor doesn't work nowadays. You can't eat in Yerushalayim. How do we know Bechor cannot be consumed nowadays in Yerushalayim. That's coming up a little later. But that's the assumed fact. And by extension, Maaser Sheni as well. Vidinu, we make a correlation. A Bechor, right, a Korban Bechor, Tohon Avas Mokim, needs to be brought to Yerushalayim, of course, and processed in the Beis HaMikdash, like a Korban. Umaser, Tohon Avas Mokim, likewise Maaser Sheni, needs to be brought to Yerushalayim. Just like Ma Bechor, Einu Elofnei Abayit, just like Bechor, can only be consumed when there is a Beis HaMikdash in place. Af Maser Einoi Elofnei Abayis. Likewise, Maser Sheni needs a Beis HaMikdash for consumption. Okay, again, how do we know that that it's true by Bechor? We'll see a bit later. Says the Gemara, how could you compare one to the other? I mean, a Bechor is a full-fledged carbon. It's not like just mundane material like Maaser Sheni that doesn't need an actual Mizbeach, a Beis HaMikdash for processing. A Bechor is a full carbon. You need a Mizbeach for the Dam, for the Emur, and of course you need a Beis HaMikdash. Ma'al Bechor shekentoan matan damim, v'ibrum gavim Mizbeach. How could you compare? Of course a Bechor can only be processed when you have a Beis HaMikdash because it has the blood and the Emur for the Mizbeach. Well, Bikurim Yechichu, that argument can be refuted by taking a look at another item called Bikurim, first fruits that you bring to Beis HaMikdash, which require a Beis HaMikdash, which is a Fnei Mizbeach, right? V'nichu l'fnei Mizbeach, he placed in front of the Mizbeach, despite not having any Dam, any Murin. Apparently, even without that factor, a precondition is Beis HaMikdash in existence. Well, says the Gemara, how could you compare it to Bikurim? Mali Bikurim shekein tunin hanoch. Of course, Bikurim needs a Mizbeach and a Beis HaMikdash. You have to place it near the Mizbeach. Something that Maaser Sheni doesn't have. Tam Aloymar. So, we lost our, you know, substantiation. Rather, we'll go over to a Pasuk, which tells us to connect, to make it hekesh, between Maaser Sheni and Bechor. Whatever applies to Bechor, which means it needs a Beis HaMikdash, likewise Maaser Sheni. Tam Aloymar, Ravesim Shoma, Eloi Seichem, and the Pasuk continues. V'zivichechem, v'as ma'as roi seichem, ma'as rosheni, v'as tru ma'as yadchem, v'nidrechem, v'nidvoi seichem, here comes, u'b'choyres, and b'choyres as well. By mentioning these two items in one breath, one sentence, that affects a connection, a hekesh, ma'akish ma'as al-b'choy, we connect ma'as rosheni to b'chor, and just like b'chor, ma' b'chor, einu yelof ne'abayis, can only be consumed when the Beis HaMikdash is in place, Af Maaser, likewise, Maaser Sheni, Ella, you're only going to eat it when you have a Beis HaMikdash. So we needed this Hekesh because we couldn't really learn directly from Bechor, because Bechor has, you know, its carbon elements. We couldn't learn from Bikurim, which has its own Mizbeach requirements. Well, says the Gemara, V'nahadur Dina, V'nesim Mahatzah. Let's do what we typically do when we have, you know, a discrepancy, disparity between two possible sources. We find a common denominator. Let's do the same here. Let's find the common element between Bechor and Bikurim and conclude that these things need a Beis HaMikdash. Likewise, Maaser Sheni. V'nahadur Dina, V'nesim Mahatzah. Let's make a commonality between the two. Because Bechor requires Beis HaMikdash, even though it doesn't have Bikurim's element of the Hanocha near the Mizbeach, and likewise Bikurim requires Beis HaMikdash, even though it doesn't have Bechor's, you know, blood and Emurin element. So what's the Tzad HaShav, what's the common denominator? Both need to be brought to Beis HaMikdash, to, you know, the Beis Rishalayim, and you need a Beis HaMikdash intact to consume them. Likewise, Maaser Sheni, it has to be brought up as well, needs a Beis HaMikdash. So without the Hekesh of the Pasuk, we have a proper source to require a Beis HaMikdash in place for consumption of Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. No, Mishum Dikel Mifra, you can refute this correlation. Mala Tzad Lashavah Shebehen, Sheken Yesh Behen Tzad Mizbeach. You know what's common to those two possible sources, Bikurim and Bechor? They have somewhat of a Mizbeach element embedded in them. Bechor is, you know, Dam and Emur, not processed on the Mizbeach, and the Bikurim is meant to be placed near the Mizbeach. They both have a Mizbeach component to them, which Maaser Sheni doesn't have, so perhaps he doesn't need a Mizbeach or Beis HaMikdash in place. Okay. So that required a Pasuk, a Hekesh. And the Hekesh was, just as Bechor requires a Beis HaMikdash, likewise Maaser Shein. Asks the Gemara again, the obvious question. How do we know that Bechor needs a Beis HaMikdash? We haven't yet proven that point. Micah Sover, what does Rabbi Shmuel hold? That gives him that sort of confidence and clarity that Bechor needs a Beis HaMikdash. Micah Sover, if he holds Kedusha Rishonah, that the initials, Kedusha, which was active when they moved into Eretz Yisrael, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, stayed active even after exile. Kitcha Lashata was activated at that time. Vikitcha also loved it, and it was a permanently active Kedusha. And it outlasted the Churban as well. So even today, we have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, of the Beis HaMikdash, right? So then Afilu Bechor Nami. So in that case, you could even process a Bechor nowadays. Rashi brings a Gemara Megillah. If we hold that the Kedusha is still active, is still in place, you can actually be makir a Bechor, even if you have no physical, you know, structural Beis HaMikdash or Mizbeach. You just find the right place where the Mizbeach was and you do it there. So even Bechor is valid nowadays. Why are we assuming it's not? Vika Savar Lekishlas Lova, on the other hand, if he holds up the opinion that the original Kedusha that was present when the Beis HaMikdash was there is no longer around today until the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, Bechor B'Yameinu. So then, Afilu Bechor Nami Tiboy. So the same question that you're posing regarding Maaser Sheni, could it be consumed today even without the Beis HaMikdash, will apply even to a Bechor. How? Says Rashi. Suppose they did the Hakrava of the Bechor while they had a Beis HaMikdash. And then suddenly, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And you have the Basar standing here, right here. So the same question would apply. Can you eat it or not? Is it called Lifnei Hashem or not? So what makes us assume that a Bechor is X and the question mark only applies to Maaser Sheni? Same question applies to Bechor as well. Amar Rabbeinu, let me explain to you. Lo'ilam kasavar lo'ikitch. Certainly, Rabbi Shmuel is of the opinion that the Kedusha that was there initially is no longer active. In which case, you can't really bring a Bechor today. Okay, but let's say the Bechor had already been processed during the Beis HaMikdash's time. And now the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and you have the Basar right here. A short period, right? It has to be within, a day or so, right? The reason why we're so sure, actually, that you cannot eat that Bechor anymore is because we're speaking about a case like this. V'chav ma'eskina, we're speaking about the case that we just described. B'Bechor shenizrak dame koidim, churban abayis. The Bechor had been processed, the blood had been applied to the Mizbeach, prior to destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And suddenly, Bechor HaBayis, Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. And now we're still within, a day or two. V'aydayim sari kayim, and the flesh is right here, ready for consumption. It's not a question mark. You can't eat it. Why? Because we have a pasuk that makes a hekesh, a connection between the two elements, the two parts of a Bechor. The dam of the Bechor, and the basar of the Bechor. Rashi brings the pasuk, Ves damam tizraik, Ves chelbam taktit, Ro besaram yelecha. In the same pasuk, we have a reference to the basar and the dam of Bechor. And we learn as follows. When you're holding at a point in time that you could theoretically apply the blood to the Mizbeach, which means there is a Mizbeach intact, there's a Beis HaMikdash active, then the basar of that Bechor is also ready for consumption, but otherwise not. After destruction, you cannot bring a carbon today. So even though in this case, it had already been processed while you had a Beis HaMikdash. The damot had been applied to the Mizbeach while you had a Mizbeach. But now that you don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, it's no longer a point in time that you can theoretically process a Bechor properly. You can't eat the Basar as well. Even though it's been left over from a properly processed Bechor during the Beis HaMikdash's reign. We connect the basar to the dam of the bechor. Ma domai, just like the blood, b'mizbeach needs a mizbeach. Av besar, likewise, consumption of the flesh of that same carbon, b'mizbeach, needs an active mizbeach. Okay, so once that's been established, okay, we were looking for the source. How do we know? Why are we so sure that a bechor nowadays is disqualified from consumption? The answer is the hekesh between the basar and the dam of the bechor. And now we extend it over to Maser Sheni by way of that hekesh, right? V'asi Maser, v'olafim b'chor. Just like nowadays, a b'chor cannot be consumed in any which way. Likewise, Maser Sheni. Ask the Gemara, hold it. This is a double hekesh. And we already know that you can't learn halachas regarding karbanais from a double link. V'chidavar alamed b'hekesh. Can something that had been learned from a hekesh to begin with, such as the status of the basar of the b'chor, which is only derived from the dam of a b'chor, Chayzer Malamed Bekesh, can now be turned around and transferred, further exported to the Maser Sheni by way of another Akish? That's a double link. The answer is Maser Dagan Chulanu. Although the source material is a Bechar, right? It's the Dam to the Basar, that's Bechar, that's carbon related. But your final destination is Maser Sheni, which is not carbon material, and this double link issue only applies to carbon-related materials, but Maser Dagan, the master of your grain, Chulanu, it's sort of mundane. Chulanu, and therefore you can learn it from this double link. That works according to the opinion that we always focus on the recipient. And if the recipient in this case is not carbon, it's okay. But if you look at the provider of that material, the source, and if that's carbon, you can't transfer that information two times. So we're back stuck. Michael Amemar. The answer is, there was never a double link to begin with. Dama basar chada milsahi. The initial link was within the Bukhar itself. The basar has been compared to the dam. The dam needs a mizbeach, the basar needs a mizbeach. That's not really considered an export process, because it's one, it's chada milsahi, it's two parts, two components of the same whole, the same carbon. So you're just sort of comparing, two components within the same entity. That's not called a hekesh. That's not really called exported information. So all you have is one hekesh taking from the information from the bechor, i.e. that it requires a beis hamikdash and a mizbeach. Likewise, maser sheni can only be consumed in the presence of the beis hamikdash. Only that's really called truly lefnei Hashem. Okay, let's just recap. We have a halacha that a mizbeach, an intact, undamaged, unblemished mizbeach is needed for consumption of Kaddish HaKadoshim, even of Kachim Kalim. Kaddish HaKadoshim we learn from the Pasuk by the Miluim, Eitla Mizbeach, we need a full mizbeach. Kachim Kalim is learned from Rabbi Shmuel's Hekish, who connects Maser Sheni to Bechor. And just as Bechor requires a Beis HaMikdash and a mizbeach, likewise Maser Sheni. Hence, we see that Bechor, which is Kachim Kalim, requires a full Beis HaMikdash in place. Okay, picking up on that, Kisolak Rabin. When Rabin traveled up to Eretz Yisrael, he met up with Rabbi Yirmiyah, who actually moved from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Amra L'Shmata, so he related this halacha of Abaye that he learned from Rabbi Shmuel, that Kachim Kalim can only be consumed when the Mizbeach is in place, intact. He related the halacha to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar l'shmaita, kamei de Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amar, Rabbi Yirmiyah was less than impressed. He says, those people in Babel, Amar Bavloi, the Babylonian, Tipshoi, they're silly, the silly ones. Amtul, just because the Yasvi, they dwell ba'arach hashaych, in a low-down, low-lying, dark area. Amri, shmata de machashcha, they convey dark sayings, dark lessons, dark halachas. I disagree. Consumption of kachim kalim, don't need a mizbeach in place. Leishmielu, haven't they heard the halacha, the braisa, which indicates otherwise? Hadasani of a braisa. Shasilk masois. So, in the midbar, they did a lot of traveling, and the mishkan would come along, they would take it apart, transport it to the new location, reassemble it. What happens when they're en route, in transit. Bishas siluk ma'asois. Rashi explains this to mean when they dismantle the Mishkan and the Mizbeach, and the two Mizbeachs, right? While they're doing the ma'asois, while they're traveling. So although the Kedusha of the area still remained intact, three levels of Kedusha, the Machne Shechina, around the actual Mishkan, even though it was dismantled, it still contained the presence of the Shechina. The next level was the Machne Leviyah, the Leviyim camping, even though they were moving along, they sort of encompassed the Kedusha of Machne Leviyah, and the Machne Yisrael rested on the general public, even though they were in transit. In fact, as we'll see in a second, let's see, Kochem Nifsolon, so the Karbonis could not be eaten at that point. V'zavim u'mitzarayim mishtalchem chutz l'mechitza. This is despite the fact that the Kedusha of the, you know, general three-tier Kedusha, three-level Kedusha was still around. Machne Shechina, Machne Leviyah, Machne Yisrael. In fact, the people who were tummy had to be sent away. They had to travel outside of the general camp. So even in transit, they still contained the Kedusha. So the Oel Moed was still called Oel Moed, etc., etc. The Zav, the Matzor, had to be sent out. So why does the Brisa say you can't have Karbonis? Explains Rashi, apparently because the Mizbeach was out of place. So that's one Brisa, okay? Mizbeach in place is a prerequisite for consumption of Karbonis. But now we have another Brisa. Tani Idach, we have another Brisa. You're fine eating Karbonis even when the Mizbeach was on the move. Tani Idach, b'shnei mekaymes, in two situations, two locations. Kachim nechal nikidik Karbonis. Rashi explains this to mean whether everything was, you know, stationed in place, that's one type of place, or even when they're in transit moving. Apparently, you could consume Karbonis even when the Mizbeach is on the move. My loves, how do we reconcile these two brises? Here it says you can, here it says you could. Oh, depends what type of carbon. Oh, the first brise which says you can't, the consumption requires Mizbeach, is speaking Mikadosh HaKadoshim. Because that was learned from the Pasuk, Eslam Mizbeach, by the Meluim. Habakachim Kalim. Versus the second brisa, which doesn't relate eating Karbonis to the Mizbeach. That's Kachim Kalim. Apparently, Kachim Kalim don't need that. Amar Ravina says, Ravina, no, not necessarily. Either Vidu Kachim Kalim, perhaps both brises, relates to Kachim Kalim. But let's recall, there was a Machlaikis. Who was the one who said you can't eat a Bachar nowadays? Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. The answer is HaRabbi Shmuel. First price is Rabbi Shmuel, who says Mizbeach is needed for Achila of Kachim Kalim, just like Achila of the Bachar, right? HaRabban. The second price is the Rabban. Don't have that source. Hibay Yisem, another way to explain. Hava B'Kadosh HaKadoshim. Price number one, who says you can't eat. And price number two, which says you could. Both are speaking about the highest Karbanis, Kachim Kadoshim. But let's re-explain the second brisa, which never meant you could eat the carbon without a mizbeach in place. Mizbeach is in place. It's just that the Mishkan has begun being dismantled. You know, the klaim, the curtains around the area, the dismantling process had begun, but the mizbeach is still in place. Umay b'shnei mekaymes. What are these two places that the brisa referred to? Both are speaking the Mizbeach in place. Koidim, Shiyamidu Levim Sa Mishkan, the first is speaking where the Levim hadn't yet set up the Mishkan. Rashi actually says that the Lashon here is just is sort of a loose Lashon. It just means that the Mizbeach, the Mishkan had already been erected. It's all in place. It's great. So, you know, under typical circumstances, sure. And the second Mokim is L'achar. Shifarku, Halevim, it's a Mishkan, speaking after they, you know, began dismantling the Mishkan. Levim would do it in preparation for travel, but the Mizbeach was still in place. And the point is, don't think that there's a psil of Yaitse, says Rashi, that it's as though the carbon had left the area, because there's no area. It's this, the enclosure had been taken away. Right? Kach Kachem has to stay in the Azaro and the Chatzar. Right? The Midbar was called the Chatzar. Don't think it lost that status. The answer is it's still okay. In fact, it sounds from Rashi that even once they start traveling, there's no psul yotzei on the carbon material, even though they're on the road. They haven't left the area. It's still all Malkim Kedusha, and it's sort of in transit, and then when it gets reestablished, it's just back to where it was. Tesis seems to argue, but in any case, the point is consumption. Could he consume? Yeah. Because the Mizbech is still here. We're not yet traveling. But while they're traveling, yeah, then you can't. Until things are back in place. Oh, the Gemara makes this point. Perhaps I would think, if right? That once you dismantle the curtains and the enclosures, the carbon is considered as though it left the area. And it will become pasul. Kamashma, the point is no. It stays kosher. Perhaps it does become pasul b'yotze. Amakro, no. V'nosa oil mayit. Oh, the pasuk in describing the traveling says v'nosa oil mayit. Even when it's traveling, it's still Hashem's oil mayit. It still has the shechina. It's unaffected by location. Afa b'shem nosa oil mayit. Even though it's traveling, right? It's still considered afa b'shem nosa, even though it left its location. Oil Moed, it's still considered Oil Moed, it still has its status and its Kedusha. And that Kedusha sort of encompasses and incorporates all the carbonates that are linked to it. They're still considered a Makim Kaddish, and as soon as they reestablish themselves in the next location, you can have those carbonates without an issue. Okay, so in any case, back to the halacha of eating karbonis without a mizbeach. So according to the previous Gemara, Rav Elazar's halacha was, whether it's kachim kachim, kachim kalim, you can't have it. Rabbi Yirmi was unimpressed regarding kachim kalim. He says, we have no source for that. In fact, he had a brisa. He could eat them even without a mizbeach. The Gemara provided a couple answers. Perhaps it's machlekes tanaim. Rabbi Shmuel was the one who said a bechor needs a mizbech, and likewise, oh, kachim kalim. But the rabbanan disagreed. Perhaps he was speaking about kachim, and mizbech is still around. So certainly that's okay. And the chiddush is there's no psul of yotze. Okay, speaking about the mizbech, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav. Here comes another halacha regarding the mizbech, regarding the makeup, the description of the mizbech. So in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, what type of Mizbeach was it? We're speaking about the external Mizbeach, not the one in the Hechel, which was made of gold. The one outside, the Azara, in the Mishkan was called the Chatzar. The Pasuk calls it Mizbeach it was Nechoshes, Mizbeach Nechoshes, right? It was copper-covered wood, right, which comprised the structure, and it was filled, the gap inside was filled with earth. That was in the Mishkan. Then, when it came to Eretz Yisrael, there were a couple of stages, right? We know there was a period of 14 years while they were capturing and dividing the land, where the Mishkan was located in a place called Gilgal. Then they relocated to a place called Shiloh for 369 years. Wow, a long time, 369 years. And that Mishkan looked a bit different. It was, it had solidly constructed stone walls and a sort of material covering on top. And then they moved over to a place called Noiv, and then to Givon, and ultimately over to Yerushalayim to the permanent Beis HaMikdash built by Shlomo HaMelech. What did the Mizbeach look like throughout all these phases? Says Rav Huna Amar Rav, although in Gilgal, initially, there was no change. They used the old Mizbeach of Moshe Rabbeinu, but when they came to Shiloh, they reconstructed, they built a stone constructed Mizbeach. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Mizbeach shel Shiloh was comprised of stone, shel avanim hayah. The Sanya, as we learned in a Braiser, was Ibn Yaakov Omer. We have a hint to this in the Torah itself. Matam Olaymar, we find three times the Torah referencing a stone Mizbeach. Avonim, Avonim, Avonim. Sholosh Pamim. What are these three references? corresponded to three times that they had a Mizbeach Shel Avanim. Echad, one was Shel Shiloi, as we just mentioned. Ve'echad Shel Noi V'givoin. And Noi V'givoin was also made of stone. And finally, Ve'echad Shel Beis Olam, and one in the Beis HaMikdash. Mosev Rav Acha Bar Ami, he has a question. You're telling me they switched? They retired Moshe Rabbeinu's copper Mizbeach for the sake of the stone Mizbeach and Shiloi? Really? The Brisa says like this. It was one continuum. Eish sheyorda min hashamayim, b'mayim Moshe, the, you know, the heavenly fire, miraculous spiritual fire that descended from heaven in time Moshe Rabbeinu, and was present on Moshe Rabbeinu's copper Mizbeach, stayed in place until Shlomi HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and retired Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach. L'nistalkam Mizbeach Nechosh has never left that Mizbeach. Ella only all the way b'mei Shlomi, the time of Shlomi. And likewise, ve'esh shiyarda mei Shlomi, the esh that descended in the time of Shlomi HaMelech on the new Mizbeach, l'nistalkam never left, achba Menashe v'silka du Menashe came, did Avodah Zarah, and chased it away. Clearly, it was the same Mizbeach. There was no change until the Beis HaMikdash. You're telling me that in the time of Shiloh, they switched to Mizbeach? V'imisa, according to you, mikaru distalkli. It left earlier than the Shlomi HaMelech Beis HaMikdash. It left when they built a new Mizbeach in the time of Shiloh. Says the Gemara, you write, it's a machlokes tanoim, hu damar kaitano, Rav, who told us that the Mizbeach Shel Shiloh was made of stone, is in line with the following Tana, hu damar Rabbi Nosson, son of Rabbi Nosson Omer, that it was, in fact, it was constructed in this manner. Mizbeach Shel Shiloh was made of Shel Nechoshes Haya, Cholol, hollow copper, umali avana, filled with stones. Exactly as Rav tells us, that it was a stone Mizbeach. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Omer says, no, let me answer the question more simply. Sure, all agree. They reconstructed and turned it into a stone Mizbeach. When the Brisa says the fire still remained, okay, it could still stay there, even though they switched Mizbeach. Mailo Nistalka. When the Brisa says that the original fire never left, yeah, Lo Nistalka Levatel, it didn't leave completely. Mahi, what does that mean? Rabban Amri Shviva Mishadra. The heavenly fire was present on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, off to the side. So in addition to the stone primary one that had Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach sitting on the side, and Shviva HaMashadah would send sparks. So the there were sparks coming out of that fire sitting on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, which would ignite the fire on the regular Mizbeach. So that was going on until they came to the Beis HaMikdash, when the fire was transported to the actual Mizbeach of Shlomi HaMelech. Rapapa Amar Ushbiza Banakat. The fire was like a guest. It adopted sort of a guest schedule. Vizimnan Hacha, at times it was on Moshe Rabbeinu's Mizbeach, at times it would relocate to the stone Mizbeach in Mishkan Shiloh. So in any case, yeah, we can go with Rav's assertion that there was a new stone Mizbeach in Shiloh regarding the fire. It was still around. Either was sitting nearby, shooting sparks, or would alternate between the Mizbeach HaNechoshes and Mizbeach HaVam. Okay, so we discussed a couple of halachas regarding Mizbeach. Even Rabbi Yehuda, who allows Hakrov on the floor, but regarding Dam, Mizbeach is needed. And Mizbeach is needed to eat Kachim Kadoshim, according to some, even Kachim Kalim. And we discussed the various stages regarding the Mizbeach, Mizbeach Shel Nechoshes, Mizbeach Shel Avanim, and finally Mizbeach that was built in the time of Shlomi HaMelech in the Beis HaMikdash. Shibonu b'mehir b'meinu amen. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rav.